we want as a church to let the Spirit of God keep the hands on the spotlight, and we ask Him to always direct that spotlight to our blessed Lord and no one else, not to men, to Christ and Christ alone.
Seeker sensitive. Is that a good label for a church, or might it more aptly be termed scripture insensitive? Pastor Don Green will continue to tackle that question today on the Truth Pulpit as he presents part two of his message, Why I Am Not a Seeker-Sensitive Pastor. Last time, Don gave us the first two of four main reasons. Scripture is the authority, not men, and the church belongs to Christ. Today, Don will give us the final two, bringing the Holy Spirit and the apostles into the picture. Grab your Bible and let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, esteemed guests, as if I were going to give a valedictory speech, Jesus Christ paid for you at great personal cost. He gladly left the realm of heaven in order to become a man, in order to be able to go to the cross and lay down his life in love for you, so that you might be reconciled to God from your sin to his holiness. You are right with God based on the work of someone else. Right with God based on the righteousness and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing of your own merit, nothing that you did, all of him, all because he laid down his life for the sheep. What was he doing? He was paying the price. What does that mean? It means that those people belong to him by right of purchase, as well as the fact that God the Father gave those people to him. Beloved, we really have to get our arms around this. We really have to wrap our mind around the implications of this. That means that the people of God, that those who belong to Christ, those who are true Christians, belong to Him. It's not our place as a church in ministry or mine as a pastor to step in between that ransom price, that purchase price between Christ and His possession and say, look at me. Let me talk about me for a while. Me, 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 me. Do you see how utterly inappropriate that is? That is not right. Those aren't your people to talk to that way. You talk to them about their shepherd who gave his life for them. You talk to them about his authority, his love, his grace, his keeping hand. You point them to Christ. And if you have any sense about that at all, the thought of telling your personal story is abhorrent. That platform, preacher, is not given to you as a platform for self. That platform is given to you to elevate Christ, to make Him known, to make Him sweet, to make Him lovely to His people. That's why I'm not a seeker-sensitive pastor. The church belongs to Christ. And the biblical pastor puts Christ at the center then, not himself. Does so even if it means he understands that lots of people won't listen. Lots of people will go away someplace else. You know what? They did that to Jesus too. John chapter 6. Many who were following him left when they didn't like what he said. You see, the whole point, the goal is not to accumulate numbers just for the sake of numbers. The goal is to be faithful to the one whose church it is. That's why you speak what you speak. And you have to settle those things in your mind. That has to be clear in your mind before you can begin to say, what's a good church look like? Or the pastor says, what am I going to speak about on Sunday? That has to be clear. We are walking, as it were, speaking metaphorically. We're walking on sacred ground. We're walking on that which was planned in the halls of eternity before time began. That God, the Son, and the Spirit said, this is how we'll do it. Acting out of their single essence, saying, this is what we want. This is the will of God. And that is preeminently manifested in the redemption of His people. And so it's not ours to say, let's tweak this so the spotlight can be on me. Let's tweak this so you'll think about my story going out. No, 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 no. That's not what we do. When Christ's people are gathered together, they belong to Him. The appropriate topic of discussion is only Christ and only His Word. Whatever He has made known in the pages of the 66 books of the Bible, that's an appropriate topic of discussion. Your personal experience, Pastor, is not relevant to the issue. Objection. Out of order. This is Christ's church. We focus on Him. Thirdly, a little bit of a Trinitarian emphasis to what I'm saying here. There are many, many other things that I could and should say, but just trying to gather this up in one message, in one place. We said that Scripture is the authority, not man. The church belongs to Christ, not man. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit testifies to Christ, not man. You want to see a work of God on display? You want to know where the Spirit of God is truly at work? Don't look for the fog lights. Don't look for really fancy stage design. Don't look for false signs and wonders. If somebody had the power of healing, they should be at Children's Hospital exercising that indiscriminately to relieve suffering. The fact that they don't do that shows that they don't really have that gift. How do we mark out a work of the Spirit of God? Well, in part, you mark it out that the Spirit testifies to Christ, not men. We're still in the Gospel of John. Before Jesus departed the earth, He promised His disciples a great gift. He promised to send to them the Holy Spirit to be with them, to comfort them. He says, I'm going to depart soon, but understand that I'm going to send a helper to you, to be with you. And that helper is none other than the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, in verse 16, Jesus said, and again, just manifesting His great love for His people, His great love for His disciples. He provided for us, beloved. Do you see this? He gave us everything that we needed in the Scriptures and in the Spirit to ensure that we would pass through the deep waters of this earthly life on this sin-cursed sod to enter safely into heaven with Him and to be with Him forever. He guaranteed the outcome by His provision for us before you were even born. With His death on the cross and with this promise that we see in John chapter 14, verse 16, He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is, this helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. The blessed promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit, true for every believer in Christ. Not that there are some Christians who have the Spirit and others who don't. No, God freely gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes. And what does this Spirit do? What is His work? Well, verse 8. Chapter 16, verse 8, I should say. Starting verse 8 in verse 7, of course. He says, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Somehow the presence of the Spirit was superior to the earthly, physically confined presence of Christ. Verse 8, Jesus says, He, that is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Sin, righteousness, and judgment being the theme of what the Spirit testifies to. And then Jesus goes on in verse 13. In part, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus Christ. I love this. Verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Look at what the Spirit of God does. As he worked in the apostles to unveil God's word in the subsequent decades, what was the topic? What does the work of the Spirit point us to today? It hasn't changed. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit can be recognized when the attention is being put on Christ in a way that exalts Him, brings Him glory, and calls men to submission and trust in Him. That's how you recognize the work of the Spirit. He glorifies Christ. He brings Christ to the center of attention. And He does that when a Bible is opened. Now, beloved, recognizing, and part of what makes the deception of seeker-sensitive ministry so pernicious, is that they're more than happy to talk God talk. God did this. God did this for me. God will do this for you. God will help you like He helped me. You notice the distinction, right? You can talk about it in those terms, but if you never get around to talking about Christ, the Spirit of God is not present in it because He glorifies Christ. He points people to Christ. And beloved, here's the thing. You can recognize a work of the Spirit in a church and a ministry over the period of time by saying, does this ministry consistently point me to the saving and keeping work of Jesus Christ or not? Or do they drown you in self-preoccupation, and here's how you can get your problems helped, and here's what God will do for you? Understand, there's a big cleavage of distinction between those, but if you're not listening for it, the lines might get kind of blurry to you. The Spirit points men to Christ. Beloved, why is it that we're not a seeker-sensitive church? Why don't we get up and talk about men? Talk about our personal stories. It's because the Holy Spirit does not share the limelight with sinners so that they can make themselves the center of attention. That's not the work of the Spirit of God. To call your attention to a man and his story. No matter what kind of little spiritual twist he tries to put on it in the end, the Spirit glorifies Christ. The Spirit testifies to Christ. You know what that means for me as a pastor? It means I want to be in step with the Spirit. I want the work of the Spirit to be manifest. I want to be working consistently with His purposes, not at cross purposes with it. And that narrows the field of discussion to the one blessed person of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has revealed in His Word. And so, again, just to kind of create a little bit of a physical picture in your mind, you have the Spirit of God shining a spotlight on Christ as the work of His ministry. And the pastor who wants to pull attention to himself is like he's trying to grab the spotlight and redirect it so that it's on him. To jerk the spotlight out of the hands of the Spirit and place it on himself. That's not good. That's not right. That's not biblical ministry. That's why we're not a seeker-sensitive church. That's why I'm not a seeker-sensitive pastor. We want, as a church, to let the Spirit of God keep the hands on the spotlight, and we ask Him to always direct that spotlight to our blessed Lord and no one else. Not to men, not to women, not to boys, not to girls, to Christ and Christ alone. Now, finally, maybe you're starting to understand why I couldn't sleep last night, huh? You see, there's so many critical principles that are at stake when you see what is going on a church platform. People speak out of that which fills their heart. Churches, over time, show what they think is important by what they focus on over time. You can't miss it when it's not there. Fourthly, why do we do what we do? The apostles preached Christ and not men. The apostles preached Christ and not men. So here's the picture. I'll get to the apostles in a second. Here's the picture. You've got the Bible testifying to Christ. Before time began, you've got the Father, Son, and Spirit saying, we'll do this work of redemption that will lead people to reconciliation with a holy God despite their sin through the work of Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit of God making it His priority to point people to Christ. And fourthly, you see the men that Christ appointed to be His representatives on earth, that's exactly what they did too. There is a perfect divine symmetry. There is a divine consistency woven all the way through. Now, seeker-sensitive ministry depends on marketing itself as the friend to sinners. We've got free coffee for you. Comfortable seats. Come as you are. We'll make it fun. We're not like your grandma's church. We'll spin a story and we'll still get you out on time. Just hang out with us and all will be good. We're your friend. We're cool. Don't tell me that that's not what they're trying to communicate. We're cool. Beloved, Scripture condemns that whole mindset out of hand. Look at 1 Corinthians. How can we gather together clever marketing techniques in order to get people to like us, to be here? What do? How can we make it happen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Why are we here? Verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Beloved, it's not vague God talk that marks a true ministry. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which the world despises, which the world does not want, which we say, sorry, but we preach Christ crucified. Verse 22, Jews ask for signs, Greeks search for wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There's not room in that passage to be really cool to people who don't know Christ. Go on. The apostles preach Christ and not themselves. Chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says to the church at Corinth, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read a little longer passage than I had planned. That's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Since we have received this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Look at verse 5 with me. For why do we do this? Paul asks rhetorically. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Beloved, the man of God understands that it's not about him, that he's not supposed to be in a pulpit continually extolling his own story, his own virtues, or even his own sins. He points you to Christ. He steps out of the way and, as it were, says, look at my Christ. Look at the Christ of the Bible. He is the one who calls you to salvation. He is the only hope for your soul. Only he can deliver you from sin. Only he is worthy of your praise and attention. Only him. He gets out of the way. He does not preach himself. He preaches Christ Jesus as Lord. And so what do? When you've got a room full of unsaved people in front of you, chapter 5, verse 20, rather than talking about yourself, you point them to Christ. Verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Why are we not a seeker-sensitive church? Why am I not a seeker-sensitive pastor? Why would I die first? I would rather preach to an empty room than to prostitute myself for seeker-sensitive ministry. Why? It's because Christ is too great and sinners are too dead to do it any other way. We dare not push Christ aside to put ourselves on display. Don't do that as a church. Whatever realm there is in private discussions to talk about life circumstances, that's one thing. What a church does, what the purpose of a pulpit is, what the ministry is about, what a pastor should do, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've read this quote from Charles Spurgeon before. I'll read it one more time today. Probably other times in the future as well. Because you can hear somebody saying, but don't you understand that that's not what the world wants? Don't you understand that people don't want to hear Bible exposition? You have to do something different if you want to attract a crowd. I don't want to attract a crowd. I want to hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. Crowds can come and go. I don't care. I really don't care. That one phrase from Jesus is what I'm living for. Charles Spurgeon said it far more eloquently like this. He said, this talking about Christ crucified is said to be archaic and not at all suitable to the refinement of this wonderful age. But our mind is made up and our foot is put down. If it be foolish to preach up atonement by blood, we will be fools. And if it be madness to stick to the old truth, just as Paul delivered it, we mean to stick to it. For we are persuaded that the cross of Christ, which stumbles so many and is ridiculed by so many more, is still the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yes, just the old-fashioned truth. If you believe, you shall be saved. That we will stick to, and may God send His blessing upon it, according to His eternal purpose. Amen.
The Holy Spirit does indeed testify to Christ, not men. And that's why the apostles preached Christ and Him crucified. For the past couple of days on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has shared why he's not a seeker-sensitive pastor. And Don, when churches choose to follow the so-called seeker-sensitive model, is it possible that not only will it not help the people in the pew, it might actually harm them?
Well, Bill, I do think that it harms them if it conditions men to think that their earthly issues are the most important thing in life, and their happiness is the reason the church exists to serve them. That's the exact opposite of the way that things are supposed to be. The church exists to proclaim God's word and to honor Christ in everything that it does. Christ is the center of church. Christ is the center of Christianity, not the needs and desires of men. And it's that we've tried to emphasize over these last two broadcasts here on the Truth Pulpit. My friend, Christ is the center. Fear God and look for Christ in the Scripture and let the other things fall into place as they may.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.